with our summer series, for those of you who are just joining us for the first time, we are going through a book. Actually, there's a book called When Helping Hurts. When Helping Hurts, and it's how to alleviate poverty without hurting the poor and yourself. It's a fascinating book, and what we're doing is we're going through the Bible study based on the book so that we can, as a group, go together. Now, they're assuming that you're doing a small group outside of church because of our situation. We have limited time, but it still is something that I really felt that we needed to be doing. It's video-based, but what we do is we do a little discussion up front, we play the video, and then we wrap it up. So that's what we're going to do today. That's sort of how the format goes. And today we're going to look at Unit 3. It's called Understanding Why Good Intentions Are Not Enough. So let's continue our investigation. We would reach the goal. And what is the goal? What's the goal? Why are we doing this?
Transformation.
They were listening. Praise God. Transformation. But more specifically, the goal of this series is to equip the North American Church, i.e. Bartimaeus Baptist Temple, with a ministry framework that restores the poor to fulfilling their God-given callings and potential. But before we watch today's video, let's look at the evening news. Let's just take a look at the evening news. Okay, picture this. You turn on the evening news, and you see that a tsunami has devastated Indonesia, leaving millions of people without food, adequate shelter, or water, right? We see this all the time. We saw it, what was a recent devastating, it wasn't a tsunami, did anyone, there was another major thing that happened. Well, we had the earthquake in Nepal, right?
Yeah.
They're still having aftershocks and people are still dying. Now, following the commercial break, the news returns and continues with the story about a low-income community in your city where many people also lack food, clothing, and shelter. Now, at first glance, those two situations appear to be the same, right? We need to do something, right? But what? What do we do? So that's what we're going to do is we watch today. We're going to learn a little bit more about what it is that would be a proper response to those two situations. Though similar, they are different, and we're going to learn how. Amen? So, beloved is going to fire up that video.
To experience the class as it happened, pause here and watch the video below.
Awesome. So, what we're going to do is talk about what we just, what he was just talking about. So, what we really need to do is divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. What we just talked about. We really need to be thinking more in terms of segmenting. If all of you, if any of you have gone through any sort of college training, if you take a marketing class, right? How many people have had a marketing class? No marketing. Am I the only one? I'm the only one. Just me. So what we really need to be thinking about putting things into different categories. Why do we need to do that? Because the solutions for different segments require different strategies, different responses. Okay, to be effective. And again, to be effective at achieving the goal, the goal is?
Well, goal is
transformation.
Awesome. So that's it. So let's look at each one of these separately. First of all,
what is the definition of transformation?
It's a change.
What is the definition of transformation?
Change of mental thinking and change that gets you to the point that you change your actions.
Mm-hmm. Drastic change.
Effective change.
Drastic effective, yeah. Mm-hmm. Something that's lasting. Lasting. Mm-hmm. Now again, we're looking first at relief. Relief is usually the first stage, okay? You just had a tsunami hit. People are devastated, right? Yeah. There's urgent temporary aid. Yeah, there's urgent temporary aid to reduce suffering from either a natural or man-made crisis, primarily through a provider and receiver dynamic, right? You have been through a tsunami. I am here to help you. I'm bringing you food. I'm bringing you water. And that's appropriate, right? For that situation, right? But what about rehabilitation? Rehabilitation is an effort to restore someone. Restore someone to a pre-crisis state. Kelly is going through rehabilitation. We are trying to restore Kelly to her pre-accident state of mobility. That's the goal, right? It was a devastating thing when it happened those many years ago. And you were in the hospital for a long time. But you're now in a different stage. You're in a rehab. You're gaining strength. Right? So people are still involved in helping you through that situation, but not in the way that you were to begin with. Not in the way that you were. Now what's the third stage? It's development. It's development, having gone through the relief, having gone through the rehabilitation. This is the point at which you're walking with people over time, walking side by side, and you help all people involved, both the helpers as well as the helpees, right? And what are you working towards? You're working towards going closer to being in that right relationship with God. Remember the four ways. What are the four ways our relationships are made with God,
self, others,
yes, others and
creation.
Now, of course, we have gone through many people focus in those different areas, and they're all important, but they all work together synergistically. Big fancy word, right? Well, what does that look like? What does that look like? And the Lord leads us through things in our lives, and we wonder why. And now I have an answer, because I have a perfect example for you in my own life. My splat. And I bring this up because many of you walked through it with me. In 2013, I had a major, major relapse. You all remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. I wasn't here for a while, right?
Right.
Where was I? I was in the hospital. The first thing, and I had little pictures. There's a little picture there for the visually impaired. I have a picture of my little wrist. If you've ever been in the hospital, you get the little wrist.
That band.
The little band that says, fall wrist. That's what mine says. And then it has your name and all of your... just in case you do splat again.
But they know
who you are, they know how to help you. But I mean, basically at this point, I go from, driving a car and being normal, and then the next thing, I mean, it was like overnight. I am unable even to go to the bathroom by myself. Anyone who has been through this experience knows how humbling it is to, when you need to go to the bathroom, you ring a little buzzer. And they bring you a little, receptacle, right? And if they don't get there fast enough, they're changing your sheets, just like a little baby. quickly, right? Mm-hmm. But it's part of the process.
But you don't want to stay there.
No.
You do not want to say that you are extremely motivated. So,
here is living in rehab, just like Kelly.
Do they put you on the bars? Do they wrap you around the waist with the belt so they can grab you as you're falling?
Oh.
Yes. So, we went through that for, how many weeks was that? Like 11, do you remember? That would have been like 2 weeks. And once you're not improving any longer, they said, you know, at this point, they figured they were done with me. Because you're dealing with different people at each of these stages, right? In the first one, who are you dealing with? You're dealing with medical staff, orderlies, and all of that, and nurses and so forth. Now you're dealing with physical therapists. And once they're done with you, right? But you, this is your life, and I kept saying, but I cannot wait to get back into my car. And their look on their face was like, you poor thing, who is she? You're going to tell her. She is not driving. Because in fact, if you go to renew your license, they ask you, have you had any medical things happen since the last time you had a license? If you lie and you kill someone in a car wreck, you're never driving. In fact, you're going to prison. See what I'm saying? So, in order for me to get to the next phase, the developmental phase, and this was just, and Larry will tell you, I'm driving again. I don't care what anyone is saying. I am driving, and what a long time it took. But I found a place out in Arlington, and there is Linda waiting and smiling in her car equipped with hand controls. In fact, that was a picture taken after I went through the program out at Arlington Memorial on Arlington Nexus. That they teach you how to drive with hand controls. And then a car came available, and right after that, she was new. She called me and said, would you like to come out before we start the program? Wants to do a story on the program. And I was like, on my air. So there is the picture that was in the Star Telegram, Linda waving from the slab. But that is the sort of picture of the phases that people go through. Hopefully getting through all the three, getting to the development. And I understand there are situations where people might not be able to get out of one or more of these phases. But to the best of people's abilities, I want us to be thinking always about transformation and getting to people becoming what the Lord has created them to be. Amen? Gosh, and I really pray that some light bulbs are going off in your heads, because knowing what we're doing and why we're doing it, I think we could really master the all-important how, right? My two questions are, what are we doing and why are we doing it? But I think the more important question is, how should we do it? We're going to finally tune that how, based on where someone is along this spectrum, right? It's really a spectrum. And the only then has the power to be truly transformational. So I leave you with a warning and encouragement. There's a concept, and he talked about it briefly. I'm just going to bring it up again. And that is paternalism. And the definition of that is simply habitually doing for people what they can do for themselves. And I wanted to really, and I hadn't really thought about it, I forgot that y'all were coming, but I wanted to give Larry an opportunity just to give kudos to his wonderful parents who were able to really not do that for Larry. Larry, would you like to speak to that?
Well, at risk of not going on for too long, since we've got a lot to get through today, but I'm very thankful that there was no, that if I thought I could do it, I got the chance to do it. And it produced in me that kind of attitude, not I can't do that, but how am I going to do that?
Right.
And there were some things I shouldn't have done, and I learned that I shouldn't have done them.
And it must have been extremely difficult to say, I really want to do that. But praise God, you did an awesome job with Beloved, just allowing the Lord to allow him to become what he designed him to be. That's an awesome thing, an awesome testimony. And that's really what it looks like. But I just want to leave you with this encouragement, because hearing this, this is a really, really new way of thinking about this, about dealing with a lot of the people that we're ministering to, which is why we're talking about it. And so many of us, in fact, are dealing with disability ourselves. But nothing is more disabling than someone doing something or never being allowed the opportunity to do for themselves. That's far more disabling. So here's an encouragement for all of us. Joshua 1:9 in the Old Testament says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Of course, there's another verse also in the Old Testament that leads on from there. So I like to hold the two of them together because, again, when you study the Bible and there's something that's repeated, you know that the Lord is telling you this is important. So you see it in Joshua early on in the Bible, in the Old Testament. But you see it again in the book of Isaiah. And who is Isaiah? What role did he play?
One of the major prophets.
He was one of the major. He was like the Billy Graham of prophets.
I mean, he did it for 50 years or more.
But in Isaiah 41:10, it repeats it. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I, the Lord, am with you wherever you go. But then in Isaiah, he reinforces that and says, I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right arm. So just as we go through this process and becoming, you know, better, just better at what we're doing and better at ministering to people and families affected by disability, of course, their focus on here is poverty. But a lot of people in that situation are faced with that, some of the same challenges. So I just wanted to wrap it up today with a short prayer and then turn it back over to Larry. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful here on this Father's Day to honor fathers everywhere. And just, we want to become better at ministering to all people that are affected by disability. And we want to focus on transformation. But it's not so much what, but how. So Lord, thank you for the opportunity to learn how to do the better job of that in the future, to see people truly transform. And I know that we are justified in a moment, in a heartbeat. The sanctification part, that takes a lifetime. So Lord, we just pray for a better walk, a better sanctification for everyone, for those who are more able to provide and those that are in need of, and we all need to work together towards the goal, transformation, to become more like your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I praise you and thank you, Lord, in the holy name of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, we have a comment.